From KXCI in Tucson, you are listening to the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. Our mission is to connect with our community during this time of social distancing. Captain's Log, May 16th, 2021. Amy A. I can't believe it happened so soon, but it did. This week, vaccination appointments opened up for people ages 12 and up. On Wednesday, there was a parent text chain amongst my peers, and as soon as I saw the text, I scheduled an appointment for my son for Thursday. While we were in the 15-minute waiting period after he got the shot, it was glorious to see the steady stream of parents accompanying their teens to get vaccinated. Also, this past week, new CDC guidelines for mask wearing were issued, essentially relaxing recommendations. However, many are still wary, and for good reason. Always check with your stores and establishments to see what their requirements are. I'll be bringing a mask with me wherever I go and plan to wear it still for at least a while, for sure until my son is fully vaccinated. Back at Captain's Log headquarters, this week our guest is Food Conspiracy Co-op's communication coordinator and manager of the local band Little Cloud, Andrea Buttrick. Andrea shares about the many things she does in the community, COVID life, family, and some big projects at the co-op. Let's listen in.
My name is Andrea Buttrick. I use she, her pronouns. And currently I am the communications coordinator at Food Conspiracy Co-op. And we are in the middle of an expansion project, so I'm also the capital campaign coordinator. And then for kicks and for fun, at other times when there's live music going on, I get to help with some of the managing of a few of the bands that my husband and daughter are in. And I think that covers the most of it. So Joshua and Jonica's main band is Little Cloud. And then especially since pandemic, Joshua has been doing a lot of solo recording from home under his own name, Joshua Butcher. And then he's got a couple of super fun bands that are his play bands, the Muffalatas, the Lucky Ones, and then he's super lucky to be able to participate in Loveland. So he does some backup vocals there as well. Who I really am is a teacher and archivalist and storyteller. I feel like that's sort of what drives for me. So what I noticed when I came on the scene is how hard it is to be a creative, performing and serving your audience and playing your music, and then also make sure everybody gets their drink tickets and gets paid and books dates and coordinates outlets and cords and all of the things that bands forget at each performance. So I sort of stepped into that role and discovered that it just allowed Joshua and Jonica to perform much more smoothly with Little Cloud, and it increased our networking relationships with all of the venues we were playing with. So then it turned into a really fun community networking business experience. I also make a lot of costumes. Everything I sort of feel like should be a celebration and probably a ritual. So anytime I could put a theme onto the band and buy or make or require costumes, our drummer complains that he had to get an additional closet since I've come on board for all of his bits and pieces. Scanning through the Little Cloud social networks, social platforms, you can find all the pictures representing all of the gigs we've played with themes attached to them. Pretty fun. We heavily are supported by and support the Tucson Thrift Store. So we're there quite a bit. But yeah, I mean, with safety pins and a glue gun, I can pull off the basics. So I was born in a tiny little town called New Ipswich, sort of Peterborough area, right on the southern border. I did grow up mostly, I would call my childhood home Bristol, which was on Newfound Lake. So just that quintessential mountains and trees and lake life and really, really beautiful. Went to college at Earlham College in Indiana, a rabble-rousing Quaker liberal arts, tiny little college. We did a semester-long travel study along the U.S.-Mexico border. My first time in this side of the country. I think I traveled out here once as a child, but first time as a, you know, young adult. And I fell in love with the border culture as an entity, as an experience, and as a really deep history and a really struggling current. I loved it. I graduated from college and had a friend call me up one day and said, "I'm moving to Tucson and I know you like it there. Do you want to come?" So I took one backpack and one pillow on the Amtrak, and I moved out here with the intention of staying 2 or 3 years. And that was 19 years ago. And it's perfect. What was unique for me, of course, is that I have remained fully employed at the co-op. So we were in that category of essential workers, and really that double-edged sword category of essential workers, because we were so needed and honored, and we stayed present to make sure people had access to healthy food. But at the same time, we were right up at the front of it, and we were scared every day, and we were overwhelmed every day, having to make constant creative changes in our practice. The information wasn't there, so we never knew if we were doing it right, especially at the start. We never knew if we were fully safe. We were serving a community that was scared and didn't have information, which meant we were often the brunt of attacks, the brunt of frustrations, the brunt of fear, and that made it really, really challenging. I will say the co-op was brilliant, is brilliant. We all stayed fully employed. We received additional insurance and benefits throughout, including 2 weeks just handed to us for mental wellness or actual sickness. None of us did ever contract COVID, which is wonderful, but we were really cared for mind and body and therefore in spirit. So that made it, in that way, I was able to stay really connected through COVID and pandemic. At home, it ended up being, with all due respect to folks that struggled and suffered and for whom pandemic was not a gift, but for us, it really was, it was like a sabbatical. It gave us a break to take a breath, to be sort of present to each other, to basically our lives were home and work, right? That was it. And so we suddenly had time. And I think the first section of those months was time recovering and healing from overworking, over-engaging, over-serving. And then we hit a really nice, the summer hit, right? And it got nice and warm. And so that was just pool and together time. And then Joshua started being able to create like crazy. So he was writing and recording. And suddenly the house that I originally moved into was filled with music again because he had space to do that. We weren't gigging all the time. So it was, we were coming off of that particular stretch of the year feeling really renewed and really re-inspired. And for me, halfway through that is when I was promoted into communications coordinator. So I now have another place to put all that creative energy, and I have the energy to give. So that was a gift for us. We missed hugs though, so I'm desperately glad to be back out with folks again. I think we're going to be mask wearers for a while longer. I do. I think that in public spaces where you can't maintain your space, that's going to be really necessary for a while. And I'm fine with that. I mean, again, being at the co-op, we were wearing masks. Probably by the second week of pandemic, we were wearing masks 8 hours a day. And it just is. and I'm okay with that. I think more than that, a lot of what, again, both my husband and I really latched onto was remembering the time and space in between events, in between projects, in between routines, to breathe and to be present. We spend so much time now just in our backyard watching the wildlife that's taken over. And we live down, not quite downtown, Blenman neighborhood. It is inundated with birds and lizards and the coyotes we hear at night. And we take time for that now. And honestly, with that time, we are way more available. I have three grown-up children. They're 21 to 24. And during pandemic, we became grandparents. So I have a granddaughter who is 9 months old. We were not unmasked with our grandchild until Easter Sunday of this year. So we had a new baby that we couldn't kiss and we couldn't overcuddle. We did hold her. We did spend time with her, but we were masked the whole time. That's something that's sort of hard even now to process, that that there were boundaries between us. But I will say the most beautiful moment was when Eleni started to get to that super interactive stage of maybe 5-6 months, and one of us would hold her while the other one took their mask off so she could see our faces, and she started to realize that there was this barrier that was movable, and so she would tug at her own clothes, sort of making this connection of like, I can remove something for a better connection. And then she would turn right around and try to yank my mask off my face. Now it's wonderful. And now we can hold her and we've kissed her like crazy. And Joshua's probably given her beard rash, and it's wonderful. The Chicks' new album, Gaslighter, showed up at this really critical time, again, when at the store we were talking so much about harassment and so much about allyship and so much about protecting staff's vibrance ahead of $1.49 beer. And we were getting pretty good at it. Until you start to realize how internalized those sexist and gaslighting and misogynistic behaviors, and this is just in our regular life where I'm not even going to talk about, you know, national leadership, although I think that put a magnifying glass on it that we could arguably say was something we needed. But Joshua and Little Cloud did a month-long with Rarity Rock, sitting in with Rarity Rock, Cassie and Mike Peel, and sharing their music and sharing music that was driving them. And Joshua invited me to do basically a review of the Chicks album, Gaslighter. And I had the funnest time. I've never sat and taken something apart like that. You know, that's what my music family does. But I suddenly realized how intricate that album is and how anthemic it is, and deeply emotional and deeply, forget you. We are bigger and better and badder, and we are moving forward, and we're going to call it out for what it is. And I listened to that album a lot. It kind of skewed my Spotify statistics.
March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. Oh, I'm an army. March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. Oh, I'm an army of one. Brenda's back in heat cause she don't like Mondays. Underpaid teacher, police in the hallways. Print yourself a weapon and couldn't take it to the gun range. I'll cut the ish, you ain't going to the gun range. Standing with Emma and our sons and daughters, watching our youth have to solve our problems. I follow them, so who's coming with me? Half of you love me, half already hate me.
March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. I'm an army of one. March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. I'm an army of one. Tell the young boys in the white bread lobby what they can and can't do with their bodies. Temperatures are rising, cities are sinking. I'll cut the ish, you know your city is sinking. Lies on truth and truth is fiction. Everybody's talking, who's gonna listen? What the hell happened in Helsinki? March, march to my own drum. March, march to my own drum. Hey, hey, I'm an army of one. Oh, I'm an army of one.
You are listening to the Captain's Log Project on KXCI. I'm Amy A. You just heard the Chicks' song March March off their latest album Gaslighter, which deeply inspired our guest Andrea during the past year. Next, we'll hear from Andrea about the Black Lives Matter movement, new projects at the co-op, and her first hug in a year. Let's listen in.
The Black Lives Matter movement, I really believe, filled the space that opened up because we were all home and we were all present in a way that we have not been because of our overly scheduled, overly self-absorbed often, and our own projects. So one of the things I'm recognizing both in the context of the store, but in my own conversations at home and our work with musicians, et cetera, is that those actions, I worried they'd be lost. I worried that we'd have these big, beautiful, scary, incredibly transformative rallies and protests. But then that desire to go back to, quote, normal, we would forget. And I don't feel like that's happened. I feel like we really all have elevated up, leveled up in our awareness of anti-racism, our awareness of our own bias, the fact that we are all racist, because of the structures that this country built and is continuing to nurture. And I am feeling like the awareness of that is still very present. And it's continuing to show up in our institutions and in our practices and in our conversations. And I'm really, really grateful for that. I think people are getting braver. It's no longer this, well, we don't talk politics here, or that's a political issue. I think people are recognizing this is a human issue that we are responsible for, and we are responsible for changing. That feels amazing to me. And it's absolutely happening at the co-op, that I know. I also need to say that the amount of action and activism around trans lives and trans rights is another place that I'm feeling really inspired by, because it's scary and we are seeing it daily, those rights being threatened. The right to be an athlete, just a little mind-blowing to me as somebody who's been a runner since I'm 12, and I can't imagine having that right and that freedom threatened or taken away. But again, I feel like we have energy like we've never had before to meet the threats to our community, and I'm really grateful for that. Food Conspiracy has been on this little square of 4th Avenue for 50 years, and there's a much of us that have evolved, but there's parts of us that just still really love to be the little corner grocery store. And so something as fancy as online shopping just seemed a bit ridiculous. And we didn't have the tech-savvy folks present. However, during pandemic, we ended up hiring somebody from another co-op who's tremendously tech-savvy. And it became very clear that in order to fully serve our community members, not just during pandemic, but all the time, for all the reasons that not everybody can walk into the store, it was just so clear we had to have curbside shopping. So you can shop online at the website, and pick it all up in our parking lot, which is pretty amazing and something we'll continue. Cause like I said, it was a clear reminder that that's about accessibility. That's not just about pandemic convenience. As part of our 50th anniversary, we finally get to say yes to what our poor struggling owners have always asked for, which is an entrance from the east side of the store, so a back entrance. We have some parking off of Hoff Avenue, but you've had to walk all the way around to 4th Avenue to get into the store. We are finally going to put in a rear entrance, fill the place with gardens and shade trees and water harvesting, increase the parking space and make that all permeable ground surface, so no asphalt, and finally be able to say that we truly are accessible, inclusive, sustainable, and better caretakers of this space of land that was originally and taken by force from Tohono O'odham and Pasco Yaqui peoples. So I'm excited about that project. The spirit of it is coming very much from the Conspiracy Way work. And that's the deeper philosophical and cultural work that the general manager and staff have been engaged in over the past 3 years. And it really is about putting the vibrance of our staff and our community members first, first over product, first over rules, regulations, and restrictions. So when you walk into the co-op, you're welcomed, your vibrance is protected. And we have a clear commitment to a reciprocal relationship with you. That also means that our staff's vibrance is protected and elevated, and we have skills to be able to respond to things like harassment or difficult interactions with customers that reminds of the reciprocity, the responsibility that we both have in this relationship, whether it's because you're giving us money for food or we're exchanging information because for your needs, for your questions. But we have a shared responsibility here. And if that reciprocity is breached, we are empowered to respond with care and compassion, but to respond with some clear boundaries. And that obviously came into play quite a bit when we were talking about masks and trying to find space for everyone, but being very clear about our boundaries. So because of that, we're able to have those really critical conversations about being an anti-racist organization, about harassment and sexual harassment and the misogyny that shows up in our culture and in our structures as well. And all of that means that while we're doing this expansion project, it's not just a construction project. It's truly an expansion of the Conspiracy Way where we can be more vibrant, more sustainable, and we can better follow our pathways of social justice. We just all need to do our absolute best and get everybody vaccinated as fast as we can. And now it's super easy. Obviously, there's pop-ups everywhere. Early on, it was a little more worrisome, and I was tired and done with living in fear in the at the co-op in the face of the public. So I didn't hesitate for a second to grab mine. And I can't tell you the feeling of lightness and like quite literally being able to breathe again without fear that I was doing damage, and how great the first hug felt of a friend in public. And he didn't really realize what was going on. I sort of said, "Are you vaccinated?" He said, "Yes." I said, "So am I. How do you feel about a hug?" And then I wouldn't let go. And he sort of tried to break the hug. And then he said, "Oh, is this your first hug in a year?" And I said, "It is." And so he gave in, hugged a little longer.
From KXCI in Tucson, this has been the Captain's Log Project. Thank you to our guest Andrea Buttrick for sharing your life on the show today. You can listen to this and all past shows by going to kxci.org/programs and clicking on the Captain's Log Project. I'm Amy A. signing off. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you next week. Live long and prosper.